Coming out of the All-Star break, not only will the Detroit Pistons and Dwayne Casey need to figure out how to use James Wiseman on the floor, quite literally, they'll also have to find out how they're going to use him in this rotation of these four bigs that they now have with James Wiseman, Jalen Duren, Isaiah Stewart, and the coming return on Marvin Bagley. How are they going to do that? We're going to talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons Podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. I'm recording this towards the end of the All-Star game. I'm going to have a few All-Star weekend thoughts at the very end of this podcast. We're going to turn it into a Pistons discussion somehow. But real quick, of course, I want you guys to let me know, how do you guys feel about the All-Star weekend this year? Did you guys have fun watching? What was your guys' favorite event? There's all that kind of stuff. Let me know what your guys' quick All-Star thoughts were down in the comment section down below. I'll talk about mine a little bit later on in the podcast. And then the second segment, I had one of you guys ask me, what should the Detroit Pistons be trying to become or be trying to create their identity to be? What will their identity be? Should they be trying to be what they were 20, 30, 40 years ago? Or should they be trying to create their own identity for the young new era? I want to talk about that a little bit later too. But first, I want to talk with you guys about James Wiseman, who we've talked about a ton. We've talked about James Wiseman, I believe, on like the last four or five episodes. Absolutely been just getting all the James Wiseman content out there. However, I know we've hit on it a little bit, but there's an area that has to be talked about that I don't think has been talked about enough yet. And obviously, we've talked about how James Wiseman should be used on the court, and that's going to be a challenge in and of itself of Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff, because I hope they do it in a creative way. But they also need to figure out how are they going to handle that big man rotation for the rest of this year. Because Marvin Bagley, we saw him starting to warm up, starting to play some one-on-one drills, one-on-zero drills in practice. He's starting to play a little bit. He might be nearing his return from that hand injury that he sustained, I believe, about a month and a half ago. And once he returns, it's going to get crowded. It's going to get crowded, and it's going to be interesting to see how they do it. And the first concern I have about it isn't just, well, I guess the first concern I should say is I'm worried a little bit that Jalen Duren may have some of his minutes taken away, and I hope that's not the case. That should not be the case. Remember, that was probably something we brought up when James Wiseman was very first traded for in the very first podcast. I said that the acquisition of James Wiseman should not do anything to hurt Jalen Duren. It should not take any minutes away from Jalen Duren. If anything, they should play together. They're going to play together. They're going to try and make that the two big man lineup, see if they can actually work together. Can they develop together, et cetera, et cetera. And I know in the very first game, a lot of it was attributed to Dwayne Casey came out and said that. I believe Jalen Duren also did. That the first game, the reason why his minutes were cut was because he was dealing with those ankle injuries. He ended up not playing in the All-Star weekend game, Rising Stars Challenge, because of his injuries. So I'm not reading too much into that first game. I'm simply saying that is still a concern that maybe Dwayne Casey doesn't view them right next to each other. Maybe Dwayne Casey does view them separately and think they have to cut into each other's minutes. And if that's the case, I think that would be an incredible concern and something that people or fans should be frustrated with. So I hope that's not the case. That's what I'm going to be watching for right out the gate. But the second thing really isn't even like who's going to be the duo on the floor. Is it going to be Wiseman and Stu? Is it going to be Wiseman and Duren? Is it going to be Bagley and Stu? Is it going to be Bagley and Wiseman? What exactly is the big man duo going to be? Honestly, I think the second most important thing with that is who are the three players you are surrounding them with. I think that will really impact how good lineups will be with whatever duo you put together out there. If you're Dwayne Casey, and I think he has to be real. Again, we've said this word a few times over the past week. Dwayne Casey needs to be super creative with how he goes about this. Because, for example, let's just say he throws – let's say Marvin Bagley comes back like the first – I don't think he'll come back the first game out of the All-Star break. But let's just say that. Let's say Marvin Bagley comes back first game after the All-Star break. And they still start with Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart. If you're then doing your 10-man rotation still that Dwayne Casey loves doing, if you're going down to 10-man rotation and you're doing your little starters for bench subs that we've been getting all year, do we really think that a lineup of James Wiseman and Marvin Bagley that also has Hamidou Diallo on the floor, is that something that really has a chance of succeeding? I would say absolutely not. You got three guys that all want to operate in the exact same space. Now, I know a lot of people believe that James Wiseman will eventually be able to extend his game to the three-point arc, and we saw him hit a few jumpers, and even his first jump shot was a three-point jump shot. So eventually, hopefully, that is something he gets to, but I don't think this year he'll be at any point like a stretch big that you want taking like 3 to 4 threes outside the three-point line trying to space the floor. You still want him to be doing what he's good at and what he's comfortable with, which is putting the ball on the ground, getting to the rim, and who knows what else, but I don't think it's going to be being a stretch big. So if they do just do the offense or the I'm sorry, not offense for defense, the starters for bench stuff, I don't think that's going to work, especially if they decide to run Wiseman and Bagley together. You cannot play those two guys with Diallo if you do that lineup. You're going to have like a Livers, Burks, and Hayes or Ivy kind of lineup if you're going to have those two guys. If you're going to want to run Diallo with Wiseman, I think you'd have to either, one, put Diallo at the four and then Bagley's just kicked out the rotation, or you got to run Diallo with Stu and Wiseman and hope Stu returns to what he was the first month of the season when he was just a sniper from outside, and then still play them with Livers next to Diallo too to space the floor, and then either Killian or Jaden Ivey. You have to have a well-constructed lineup with how the Pistons' four big men are actually like what they're good at, because only one of them has shown the willingness to really shoot from beyond the arc. So now you need the guys around them to make a lot of sense with whatever duo you go with. So that's my biggest concern. My second biggest concern outside of Jalen Duren having his minutes cut, obviously. And then my third and final concern is, and I want to know if you guys agree with this. I know there actually is a few of you guys I've seen in the Pistons community. Some of you guys have been in the comment section. They actually don't want to see Wiseman and Duren together. My third concern is I hope we get a ton of it in the first game after the All-Star break and the rest of the year. I would just come straight out, and I'd honestly just start Wiseman and Duren together. And I think that gives a better spacing. I think if they do that, they have to go with they have to put Killian back on the bench, which is fine. Put Ivy at the starting position, then bring Burks and Bojan. Let those guys start. So you got adequate spacing around Wiseman and Duren. See how those guys can work together. And then the bench bigs, you got Stu, who's supposed to be spacing the floor out, with Bagley out there on the floor, who can be the rim runner, that can be the inside threat. And then you can play Killian, Diallo, and Livers together as the bench guys. I think that right there makes the most sense for balancing out the lineups across not just the bigs, but like I said, across the whole lineup. Do I think that they'll come out to All-Star break and just have that be their straight up starting and bench rotation? Probably not, but I hope that we do see those lineups at some point throughout games. And I hope we see a lot of Duren and Wiseman after All-Star break. I think you could even run, I think you can run Ivy and Killian with that lineup, but you need Bojan out there as well. Then obviously Killian needs to be able to get back to where he was before these last 10 games where he was shooting like 37% from deep. He would have to do that. But like I said, I think the most balanced lineup would be with Wiseman and Duren, and then run Bojan, Burks, and Ivy if Killian cannot shoot or like how he was before these last 10 games. If he ends up shooting like how he was before the last 10 games, then you can just run Ivy, Killian, Bojan, Duren, and Wiseman to close games. I actually really like that lineup. That just simply depends, though, if Killian can shoot threes, because that defense is needed in that lineup. If he can't, though, you just start Burks. I think that would be a really good balanced lineup. That's something I'm really looking forward to seeing after the All-Star break. But those are my three concerns. I guess not even really concerns, just three things I want to see from the four big rotation after the All-Star break. Let me know what you guys are looking forward to seeing. What do you guys want them to do with the rotation of the bigs? Who do you want starting? Who do you want playing next to Jalen Duren? What do you think about the balance of lineups that have to happen? Should the Pistons just cut it to a 9-man rotation? Just let me know all of your guys' thoughts in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cuckoo Hill. When we come back, one of you guys sent me this yesterday, and it made me want to talk about this on the podcast. You guys asked, one of the listeners said, should the Pistons be trying to make their identity of what it was 20 years ago, what it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, with the Bad Boys, the Going to Work era, or should they be trying to create their own identity to kind of separate themselves from the past eras? I want to talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about a little bit about Nissan. And I want to tell you guys, Nissan's most electric player of the week is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. Now, this week, we're going to make it a little special, a special decision here. I'm going to go with James Wiseman simply because of this. James Wiseman is my Nissan's most electric player of the week because when he was traded for, you saw way more interest. You saw fan base, the Detroit Pistons fan base get back into Pistons basketball. You saw people watching the games a lot more. You saw a lot more people talking about the Pistons games, tuning in to this final game before the trade deadline just to see, how is James Wiseman playing? Was this a good trade? How does he fit with these guys? All that kind of stuff. He may not have played more than one game. He may have only played 23 minutes in that one game. But in that one game, I felt like, and even the week leading up into that, I feel like that was the one of the only games this year that I feel like the Pistons fan base was extremely excited, extremely anxious, and together, and we're watching for the same reasons, and we're excited to watch for quite a while. It's been a tough season. So the fact that a player was able to bring that for a moment in the Pistons community, I think is good enough to make them the Nissan most electric player of the week, and that is James Wiseman. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pinion to your seat power and premium intelligence all-in-one EV. The all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com. My Nissan most electric player of the week is James Wiseman. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. And also, leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So this question here that I was asked by one of the listeners is something that, like, I we've talked about it a little bit throughout the last two years of this Pistons rebuild. We've seen it, and I've kind of had the same answer each time, and my answer is going to stay the same. And if you guys already forgot what I said earlier and what the question is, it's, should the Pistons, should this new core of the Pistons, this, you know, you think the Kate Cunningham-led era, basically, of the Pistons over the next 10 years or so, should they be trying to look back at the Bad Boys? Should they be looking back at the Going to Work teams? Should they be doing that and trying to work their identity around what those guys were? Or should they be working their identity around, you know, this is what Detroit basketball has been in the past. This is what they've won their championships on. This is what we need to be if we want to be, you know, loved by the fan base, or that we need to become winners in this city. We have to play like them. Should they be looking at it like that? Or should they be trying to do their own thing, set their own different type of era and win their own type of way to separate themselves from the rest? And my answer has always been, and it kind of, there's different ways I'm going to go with this. It's always been create your own identity. Create your own identity, create your own era, separate yourself from the past, and make your own thing, your own era that we're talking about in 20 years, saying, yeah, the Bad Boys did it this way, the Going to Work team did it that way, but Kay Cunningham's Pistons, this 2020s Pistons, this Troy Weaver built Pistons, they did it this way, to where there is no, oh, well, you know, at least for me, I don't want this team or this era to be one of those when we look back like, oh yeah, they had to go back and find what the Bad Boys had to do, and then they found themselves, or they had to go back and find the Going to Work team, and that's how they found themselves. I want to be able to look back in 15 years and be like, yeah, the Going to Work team was pretty dope. The way they won is probably something we're never going to see again. But then also this 2020s team, they did it their own way. This was special. They have a different way of winning, and they did win this way. And the Pistons aren't just known for, you know, I don't want to say that we don't want them to not be physical, but I'd like the Pistons to have different generations of different eras of kind of basketball, not just physicality, you know, with the Bad Boys. Some people would even say borderline dirtiness with the physicality and just only defense, not real big time stars. I don't see what's the problem with big time stars. I want Cade to be a big time star. And when I say big time star, I'm more so speaking to the going to work team, obviously. Isaiah Thomas is obviously a big time star, but the going to work team, they only had five. They had like five really good players. I feel like Chauncey and Ben were actual stars, but they weren't treated as such because of the way that team played and the way they all sacrificed for each other. No one ever looked at any one of those guys as like the big star of the team. I don't see what's wrong with that. And I'd like it if this team was remembered. This era was like that Kate Cunningham dude. He was a superstar and he led them somewhere. And maybe they did it with more offense. Maybe they did it playing more fast pace. Maybe they did it shooting more threes. Obviously, they're going to be shooting more threes than whatever the past teams were because of how the NBA changed. But like, I just would love to see them create their own hat to, or their own thing to hang their hat on and look back and say they did that differently. I think that would be super cool. And another reason why I'd like to see that is because I'm not one of those guys who believe the way the going to work teams did. I'm not going to go all the way back to the Bad Boys because obviously I wasn't even alive for the Bad Boys. Now I was alive for the going to work teams. And I've done, obviously you research, you go back and you hear about those teams. I watched a little bit of them. I don't have a ton of memories. I was like six, but obviously you know about them and you know a lot of stuff about them because you go back and research. But the way they won, I don't think you can win that way no more. I don't think that's something you'll ever see in the NBA ever again. I think the team that, and actually it was the first year I was the host of this podcast. For those of you guys who have been listening for a long time, you guys will remember this. I said on the podcast, I'm really interested to see how this Utah Jazz team plays in the playoffs. I believe if they win, if they can go deep in the playoffs, they show that the kind of way that the Pistons played in 2004, you don't need one big superstar. You just play great defense across the board and you play together. You play good team offense. You can win a championship that way and get deep into the playoffs. If they could do it, I would believe that's something that they could still do in this day and age. They weren't able to do it. I still don't believe it's something that can happen. I don't believe that's a brand of basketball that can be achieved or something that can win a championship and go deep into the playoffs anymore. Like just for example, and this is not, apples to apples here, but like in 2004, the defensive rating for the Detroit Pistons team was 93.9. There's never going to be a defense that's that damn stellar again, ever. The best defensive rating in this season is at 109.3. Offenses have just gotten so much better. Teams have gotten smarter. Coaching staffs have gotten smarter. The reliance on the 3-point shot, all that kind of stuff. I just makes me believe that you can't win a championship just off of being a great defensive team. Like even the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, really Boston Celtics is what I meant to say, but we'll use the Milwaukee too. The Boston Celtics last year were a fantastic defensive team. Fantastic last year. They were a really damn good defensive team. We saw what they did against Brooklyn in the first round. We saw what they did throughout the playoffs. But they had Jason Tatum, one of the best scorers in the entire NBA. They had Jaylen Brown now, who was another great scorer for them individually. Two great superstars. Maybe if you don't want to call Jaylen Brown a superstar, I think he's getting there. Jason Tatum 100% is a superstar. He's a straight-up MVP type of player and is one of the best scorers in the entire NBA. So at the end of the day, I guess my point is the Pistons need a superstar. They need a guy who stands head and shoulders above somebody. Heck, probably two or three of those guys. To win. I don't believe you can win anymore with we're going to have five really good players. We're going to play together. We're going to play really good defense. We're going to play good team offense. I don't think that's the way you can win anymore. So I don't think even if they wanted to try to win like the going to work team was, like we're going to do that, I don't think that's going to be something that they can do. And if you just look more at a play style, which I think that's what most people will be talking about. I feel like a lot of people agree with me with that you can't win with just like five really good players. You need a superstar, maybe even two of those to win a championship in this NBA. I think most people understand that. I think a lot of fans though say, well, what about the play style? They can emulate that play style. they can be a defensive team. And sure, you definitely need to be a really damn good defensive team to get deep into the playoffs and win a championship. But you also have to be a fantastic offensive team. You need to have someone who is a fantastic creator offensively. You need to have a fantastic shot maker. And you need to have some really damn good shooters. You need to have some really good shooters. And for all that we love the Detroit Pistons of the 2004 going to work team, in that 2004 season, they had the 19th best offensive rating in the NBA. That's not going to cut it. That would not cut it in today's NBA. Not only do the team, for the next 10 years, they need to be a really good defensive team, but they also need to focus on the offensive team, on the offensive side of the ball. So if this team in 10 years, we look back and say, damn, this team was good defensively, but man, they like to run. They like to put up a ton of points. These guys shot the hell out of this ball. They had some really good individual talent that could go out there and get buckets, and that's why they run and they won. I'd be happy with that. I think that's what they do need to do. I think that would separate themselves from the rest of the pack with the Pistons. And I don't think a lot of Pistons teams are, past Pistons teams are looked at as fantastic offensive teams. I think the Pistons are always just looked at as defensive physicality guys. And I think I'd like this team to change that. I'd like this era of basketball to be different. Doesn't mean I don't want them to be physical. It doesn't mean I don't want them to be defensive. But I'd be cool if this was a different variation and you saw an offensive Detroit Pistons team. I think that would be cool. And I think they can do that. I think Cade, we've talked about it a lot. I think Cade can be a future MVP. So I think they can do it, especially with Jane Ivey. If he's going to be long-term, he's going to be electric offensively. And then we'll see what they do in the draft and what they add to this squad. But I think this is going to be a way better offensive team when they end up starting to win and solidifying themselves. I think there's going to be an offensive team of something that you haven't seen in a Pistons uniform before, and it's going to be super dope. So let me know what you guys think about that. We talked about a lot of things. I kind of went a little bit all over the place with that, but my overall point was establish your own identity. Be your own team. You don't have to be whatever team from the past was. Just establish what you are. It can be different. Whatever you are best at, whatever this team thinks is best for them to win, be that. And separate yourself from the past. I don't like, and a point that I wanted to say, I know I'm running long, but one of the points I wanted to say is one of the reasons why I really wish they create their own jerseys. I love the teal. I think they look super cool, but I really would rather not keep going back to the past to bring jerseys that everyone likes. Create your own jersey that is really cool for this era, that we look back and say that those were the Kay Cunningham jersey era jerseys. Like this, that was the 2020 Piston jerseys, and everyone remembers that. Like, I just really want this era of Pistons basketball to create their own place in history. That's what I want. I don't want them to be like everyone else. I don't want them to be like the past. I want them to be their own thing. So that, in a long way, long 8 minutes of that was basically where I was trying to arrive at. So let me know what you guys think about that. Comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. To wrap up the podcast, I want to give some quick All-Star Weekend thoughts. Some of my favorite events, and obviously Jane Ivey and how he performed, and looking forward to the future. What possible contests could we see Piston players in moving forward? We'll talk about all that real quickly when we come back. But first, got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you got to try Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you like me, you want to eat healthier, but you don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you, and they're perfect for your New Year's resolutions. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy for you. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. Now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com, which you can still do, but now you can also get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, and coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run in, grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. Try it at Sam's Club, Walmart, or Built.com, the best tasting protein bars out there, Built Bar. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. This is just going to be a quick segment, just my overall thoughts for the just my overall thoughts of All-Star Weekend. That's all this is going to be. First off, I thought the dunk contest was pretty damn good. I thought Mac McClung had one of the best dunks we've seen in the dunk contest. I thought it was super, super fun, dude. And I thought the broadcasting was like really – the commentators were trying to make it worse by just crapping on Mac McClung the whole time. I didn't like that. But I thought the dunk contest was way better than last year, obviously. That was terrible last year. And I enjoyed the dunk contest. It was probably my favorite part of All-Star Weekend. The All-Star game isn't finished, by the way, by the end of this recording. They're in the third quarter. So maybe the end of this All-Star game will take that spot. But I enjoyed the dunk contest. I thought the three-point contest was fun, too. Damian Lillard's a dog. I'm surprised he hasn't won one yet. And then, obviously, Jaden Ivey, he participated in the Rising Stars Challenge. I did not watch the Rising Stars Challenge, but I saw that Jaden Ivey didn't get a lot of shots up. They weren't really passing him the ball. What I did get to watch, though, with Jaden Ivey was the skills challenge. And I have two things to say about the skills challenge. One, the rookies could not make a shot. Like, what was going on? I think Ivy was the only one to hit his threes in this, or hit one three in the skills challenge. The rest of them, I think they went a combined 1 of 9 on 3-point shots. That was a terrible showing by the rookies there. Jaden Ivey, it was fun for Jaden Ivey to get out there and have some kind of person representing Pistons basketball in the All-Star Weekend. But I hope that next year, maybe another year down the line, that the Pistons' only representation is not just a Rising Stars challenge, not just a rookie or second-year player playing in the Rising Stars game or whatever. I hope that the Pistons get some representation, maybe in the dunk contest, maybe in the three-point competition, and yes, obviously in the All-Star game. So I guess we'll wrap up the podcast with this. What events and who do I think the Pistons could have in whatever event? So I think there's a chance that you could definitely see Jaden Ivey in the dunk contest one day. I think that they need to have some bigger name guys in the dunk contest to really make it a household name again. I hope Jaden Ivey eventually gets to one of those household names, but he's electric. He's explosive. I don't know if I would say he's explosive jumping wise, leaping ability as like Ja, but he's just as quick, just as, you know, twitchy. And I think he could get creative with some dunks, and he likes to throw down dunks with a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Velocity, I guess is the word I should say. It's very, very like, I don't know, the best way I can describe it as like hard dunks. Like they are very loud, violent dunks. And I feel like those do really well in the dunk contest. So I could see Jaden Ivey doing that. I don't know if the Pistons have anyone on the current team that could do a 3-point competition. Maybe Bojan, obviously. But I don't think Bojan's going to be in the 3-point competition. I think he's going to take these. I don't think Bojan really – we'll talk about this obviously down the line, but I don't know if Bojan's even going to be on the team next year. I think they're probably going to trade him. But anyone on the current team, I don't know. I don't think I see anyone on the current team that could possibly be in the 3-point competition. So I think the Pistons are missing out on that one. And then obviously the All-Star game, looking right at you, Kay Cunningham. Next year, let's make the All-Star game. I think Kay can do it, coming back healthy. Full offseason healthy, finally got that surgery on his shin. He won't have any lower body injuries, hopefully, heading into the season. I expect his shot to look pretty well from beyond the arc. I expect him to take the Pistons. I'm not going to guarantee the playoffs, but I expect him to make the Pistons competitive. I expect him to ball out. And I hope that he's an All-Star next year because he has the talent to be. And I think he can be a future MVP in this league. So I'd like to see Kay Cunningham represent them in the All-Star game next year. But few years down the line, I think the Pistons have a few possible guys. I think Jaden Ivey could be in one of those games down the line. I think Jalen Duren could be in those games down the line. And heck, with the way Troy Weaver's been talking, heck, maybe even James Wiseman makes one of those down the line with the way Troy Weaver's been talking. And Weaver will have you believe that this is the next Wilt. And for the sake of Pistons fans, hopefully he is. But overall, I think the Pistons do have a few guys that could possibly become All-Stars down the line, and the Pistons will have more representation rather than just the Rising Stars Challenge moving forward. So what was your guys' favorite event from All-Star Weekend? Mine was the dunk contest. Let me know what you guys thought about the whole All-Star Weekend festivities, and what player do you think on this current team could participate in each festivity? Do you guys think there actually is someone who could possibly be in the 3-point competition that's currently on the roster at some point in the future? I don't know. I think maybe Livers would be like the best shot. I don't know. I think probably Livers. But even then, I don't think that's something that's going to happen either. I don't think Livers is ever going to become like the best shooter, one of the best shooters in the NBA. So I don't know. If you guys think so, though, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for being Locked On Pistons, your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe. Go Pistons. I hope you guys enjoyed the All-Star weekend. And until next time, peace out.